I do believe completely 100% that if you write it down and you believe it enough and you work hard enough, anything can happen. I'm proof of that. I'm literally proof of that.
Hey, babes, it's Kayla Kraft with the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. I'm a mom of three littles, ER nurse turned self-made millionaire, and lifestyle entrepreneur. I am bringing you inspiring stories, business and mindset tips to help you be shameless in pursuing your ambitions.
Hey, mommy millionaires. Okay, I am freaking out about today's guest. You guys, I've been waiting for like a long time. I don't know, a year or something like that to have her on. She is Amy Lacey, the owner and founder of Cauliflower Foods. And you guys, yes, you've seen this in Whole Foods. You've seen it all over the place because it's changing lives. She's a resilient leader in her many roles as an entrepreneur, best-selling author, and autoimmune advocate. So in 2010, Amy was diagnosed with lupus, becoming one of 50 million people suffering from an autoimmune disease in the United States. So she wasn't able to enjoy her pizza night with her family anymore. So she set out to reinvent her favorite foods with a no-mess, no-stress cauliflower pizza crust. And you guys, she did just that. She was selected as Clean Eating Magazine's coolest new find of 2017 and 2018 and named one of Whoopi's favorite things on The View. Okay, this is huge. She's also been featured in Pop Sugar, Eat This, Not That, CNBC, and Entrepreneur. And she was just nominated for the 2019 WeGo Health Awards in 5 different categories. Are you kidding me? You guys, she has built a multi-million dollar business. Okay, I want you guys to get that, all right, in just the last couple of years. And Amy and I met because we have the same PR, Gigi Benitez, who is amazing. I know she's listening in right now to this podcast because she's a fan of the Mommy Millionaire Show. And the first time I met her, I was like just obsessed because she's so down to earth and just, I don't know, just so real. And she actually cares. You know, like you meet those people that have multi-million dollar businesses and their customers are just numbers. No, Amy actually cares about every single person that is buying her noodles, her crackers, her crust now. She really knows that it's changing their life. And so I just absolutely love Amy as a person. And she inspires me as a business owner every single day. So you guys are going to want to take a massive amount of notes because I know Amy, she doesn't hold back. She is going to give you all the goods on today's podcast. So welcome, Amy.
Thank you. Wow. Okay. I've been on a lot of podcasts, but I have never received such an amazing intro.
Well, you deserve it. You deserve it.
I guess the key is I need to get to know my podcast people before I get on their podcast. You and I have, but we've had the privilege of doing things together in the past. Thank you, Gigi.
Yes.
So this is exciting. I'm honored to be here. Like, I am honored to have you interview me. You're amazing. I love where you came from and your story and the fact that, you know, nurses are amazing and you came from that background, but you wanted to do it so much bigger and better. And it's not that nurses aren't bigger and better, but you wanted to reach even more people. So
right.
You're doing what you're doing. So it's an honor to be here. It's
fun.
It's easy.
Well, thank you. Look, you guys, okay, just take note. That's how sweet she is. Like, I gave her all these compliments and she had to give them back to me because that's just literally. You don't even know. I know you didn't even know you were doing that, but that's what you were doing. It's just innate. That's how good of a person you are. You're just amazing. So,
well, thank you.
Virtual hug happening now. And let's get into it. You know, a couple years ago, how many years ago was this that you found yourself in bed just not functioning as a mom?
Yeah, so that was about 10 years ago. And it's funny, I went bungee jumping on my honeymoon and I literally almost hit rock bottom because there was rocks and water at the bottom when we went bungee jumping. But I say my true rock bottom was when I developed a pulmonary embolism. They went looking for a clotting disorder and they came out with a diagnosis of connective tissue disorder. And it turns out I have lupus and Sjogren's. So really, that was my rock bottom. I couldn't walk for 9 months. I was on a scooter.
How old were your kids at the time?
And my kids were little then. So I had a 7-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an almost 2-year-old. And my almost 2-year-old, I couldn't physically take care of. For a couple months, he went to live with my in-laws. And that was really what I consider my ultimate rock bottom. And that's when I was like, okay, I don't want to be on steroids. I don't want to be on Plaquenil. I don't want to be on Coumadin for the blood clot. I want to get my life back. I gained a ton of weight. I just was really miserable.
Your husband was working full-time as a doctor, right?
And he was working full-time, just actually more than full-time, because we had to bring somebody in to help us. And we were living a different type of lifestyle back then. We were living like pretty much above our means back then too. So any kind of thing that rocked our world put us in a setback. So not only was it a financial strain to be sick, but obviously I couldn't be the mom that I was or the wife I was. So it was really truly a rock bottom. And I was like, okay, I need to do something to change this. Otherwise, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, and I've admitted this a couple times now. I can remember one day calling my husband at work and saying, what is the life insurance policy you have on me? Because literally I am that depressed right now. And they put me on Wellbutrin, and I just thought, I felt so hopeless. So when I hear of people that think that way or have suicidal thoughts, I actually can relate to it because that was a time where I actually felt so like discouraged and felt like maybe I would be better off gone for these people. Like I'm such a burden. So
you're just at that hopeless moment.
It was a real low time. And then one day I was just like, you know what? If I keep thinking this way, it's going to keep being this way. I have to like fight. And I went to the internet, which so many people do when they're sick. And I started researching Rob Wolf, and I met with Rob Wolf, and he really encouraged me to go grain free, dairy free, like an elimination diet.
But who is Rob Wolf, a health coach or?
So Rob Wolf, he created the first CrossFit gym in our area in Northern California. And then he also wrote a New York Times bestseller book. He used to be vegetarian and he got really sick being a vegetarian. Now, he's not anti-vegetarian, but he wrote a book about an elimination diet. And really, he's a pretty huge advocate right now for keto, but he also was a huge advocate for paleo at one time. So I had the privilege of being able to meet with him.
Okay.
And I read his book, and that's what encouraged me to go grain-free, gluten-free, dairy-free at the time. I put dairy back into my diet because I know it doesn't bother me. It's the grains that bother me.
You were at this lowest of lows.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that has to be divine timing that you get hooked up with Rob Wolf on the internet and whatever. I mean, how often do you look back on that and go, gosh, things could have gone such a different route?
Oh, I feel that way so often about so many things that have happened over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty strong faith-based, so I really believe I had to hit that rock bottom and have that mess to create the message I'm creating now. Mm-hmm. I'm getting ready to partner with the National Lupus Foundation to be like a spokesperson for 2020. I mean, we're going really big. The NIH just came out that 1 in 6 people probably have autoimmune and don't even know it. Mm-hmm. That's huge. I mean, that's really huge. And I really believe a lot of it has to do with the artificial ingredients and the fillers that are in our food in the United States. You know, it's interesting because I don't want to divert from the story, but basically I'll come back to what I was just going to say, but to end it and to get to today, basically, I did what Rob said. I got off the medications one by one, starting with the first one, which I didn't even mention, which was Wellbutrin for antidepressant. Got off all those medications, felt like $1 million, lost 45 pounds, and I decided I wanted to pay it forward. So I did Martha Beck's life coaching program, and I became a health and life coach. And we started serving the cauliflower pizza crust to our clients. And then our clients encouraged us to take it to farmers market. So that's how, that's the start of Cauliflower Foods.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And I know you were doing farmers markets. How much were you making at the farmers market? I remember you telling me.
Our gross sales. So we launched, I started making the cauliflower pizzas in 2015, became a health coach in 2014, a life and health coach, mostly working with bariatric patients, really large patients, feeling very depressed and trying to get a different mindset. So more of a mindset thinking, mm-hmm. which is great for the life coaching, comes in handy on that. And then we started helping the Healthy Happy Hours in 2015. 2016, we launched March of 2016 at Farmers Market. And that year, we had gross sales of $120,000. I ended the year negative $269,000 because anybody that does a startup with food understands packaging, mm-hmm. website, domains, legal, all that kind of stuff. Getting a co-packer, all of that can send you down, you know, the negative rabbit hole finances. So 2017, I went to a course called Story Brand with Donald Miller.
Have you ever heard of it? Yes, I love it. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to promote somebody else's podcast on an amazing podcast.
No, but I talk about him all the time. Yes. I tell people to buy his book. Yes. Yes.
I went to his seminar and I came there with my only one employee that I had. Her name is Jimmy. It's a female spelled like Jimi Hendrix. So Jimmy and I went to Donald Miller's and Story Brand in Nashville. And I went there representing the health coaching business, which at the time was making $6,000 to $10,000 a month. I know that seems so low compared to what health coaches make now. And probably I could have done better if I was using the internet, but it was all one-to-one coaching. Yeah. And then Jimmy came representing Cauliflower Foods, which had gross sales of $120,000. At the end of that 3-day seminar, and back then, there was like 40 people in this. Now it's like hundreds in his, and he's not necessarily the one teaching it, but Don was teaching it. And Don looked at me and looked at Jimmy and he pointed at me and he said, if I were you, I'd put all your money into cauliflower. Forget the health coaching thing. And so that night, Jimmy and I went to dinner and I said, you know what? Money's getting tight and we're negative. And I think I'm going to close the health coaching business and go all in on cauliflower. But I'm going to use Story Brand to launch it. So we launched 2017, January, Story Brand, making your customer the hero.
Yep.
And we started sharing our client stories that had lost a lot of weight using cauliflower pizza crust. And boom, we did We did 5.3 million in sales.
Oh my gosh. It's freaking amazing. And then what did you guys do this last year, if you don't mind me asking?
So last year, what we did was we took Story Brand and we kept building and we listened to our customers, but I took one step bigger in the middle of, and so many people are already doing this. So your listeners are like, what? That's old news. But I didn't have an email list. I didn't build an email list. I wasn't utilizing the internet like I should have. So January, February, March, by the way, January 2017, when we launched Story Brand on Facebook.
Your video went viral, right?
The video of Jessie and her story, which I'll tell you in a minute, it went viral just on Facebook. No ads, just Facebook. And we sold 124,000 on that story.
124,000 units or dollars?
Dollars.
Okay.
So we did more in January than we had done all of 2016. And it was just sharing a story. And Jessie's story is this. She had a daughter named Kenzie, and Kenzie was nonverbal autistic. And Kenzie's doctor put her on a low-carb diet, and Jessie reached out to me and said, hey, can I use your pizzas? Will you be willing to donate some pizzas to Kenzie? And I said, absolutely. And so in order to get Kenzie to eat, because Kenzie loved pizza, Jessie had to sit down with her. So they did that for 7 months. They ate our crust. They used them as sandwiches at lunch, sometimes as toast for breakfast, and then also as pizza in the evenings, mm-hmm. and quesadillas and things like that. So Jessie used our crust at least once or twice a day, along with other low-carb foods. And at the end of 7 months, Kenzie became verbal. She went from nonverbal to verbal, and Jessie lost 169 pounds.
Wow.
So we shared that story, and that story is the one that went viral. Mm-hmm. And then by March, we figured out Instagram, which is huge.
I think that's where I first found you. I didn't know it was you, but I mean, I started ordering the pizza crust in 2017.
Yeah. They were online. We started Instagram. And then in May, I listened to Jeff Walker's The Power of Email. And I'm like, look, Jimmy, I still have one employee, but we're busting our tails. I got a lot of volunteers helping me package this pizza. And I said, we've got to do email. I mean, I hate getting emails, but we've got to do email. It's crazy that we don't have an email list. So we had all these customers like yourself that had purchased our product. We asked them if they would opt into our email. They did. And the day that we launched email was May 20th, 2017. And we sold $86,000 in one day on the one email.
Wow.
So email is powerful. Mm-hmm. Today, we average, at least $500,000, often a lot more on emails. So if you're building your business, get an email list. Definitely.
Oh, and I have so many people that are listening in that they resist this so much because they're just like you. I hate getting emails. Listen, I hate getting emails too. But the fact of the matter is that I'm not unsubscribing from anything that I love, right? So like
exactly.
I get my Nordstrom emails. I get my Jeff Walker emails. I get Donald. I get all of them. I don't open them up all the time. But I mean, I want them because when I'm going to need them, I can go and search Jeff Walker, whoever I want to look up.
Yeah.
So I love that you're saying that. It's huge.
Yeah. And exactly like you said, I don't always open them and I'm really busy, but I know they're there if I need them. And so I don't usually unsubscribe either. The thing with our customers is we have about 123,000 that are actively buying every month through email. Now we have over 500,000 on our email list. So a lot of people would be discouraged by those odds, but they're actually really good.
That's actually amazing because that's what, I mean, a 10, 15, what is that? 20%. That's a 20% open rate.
It's good.
Of a click through. That's amazing. That's amazing.
And here's what I was going to say on that is we usually, like we were doing emails where we offered recipes and we thought, okay, we're giving them a gift. We're giving them a recipe. Those are great emails, but you know, the ones that do the best is using StoryBrand and highlighting our customers. They do the best every time.
Stories sell. Facts tell, stories sell.
There you go.
Absolutely. I was actually just on somebody else's podcast this morning and they said, what's your favorite marketing strategy? And I said, stories. I've been telling stories for the last 8.5 years and no story ever gets old. People love, it's our psychology that we crave hearing a story, a good story. It's just human nature. So all of you guys get good at storytelling.
Yeah. And you know what? I've got to say, I talk about the 5 P's in my business now, and one of them is perseverance. And there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows, but there's nothing really in between to keep you going. So those stories that we get told every day, the emails they get sent, I read them all, the good, the bad, the ugly. The bad are good because that teaches me, hey, your product is this, you need to improve on it. You get enough of those, you need to improve on it. The good keep you going through the bad because it's things like I'm a diabetic and I haven't been able to eat pizza in years and now I can and you've changed my life. Or I've lost this much weight and your product is my daily go-to and I feel like I'm cheating. You know, things like that keep me going through the bad times because when you're running a $40 million business, which we're valued at $46 million now,
That literally just gives me still. I can't even believe it still, even though I can, because like, you're amazing. This is so cool. So cool.
In 3 years, doesn't mean that we're making that, by the way.
In 3 years, you've been able to completely change everything.
We had $20 million in e-commerce sales last year. I never answered your question. So, and we're building on that. So that's amazing. But I love e-commerce because you can get instant gratification. You instantly get to talk to your customers. Whereas when we're in grocery stores, we don't always get the feedback. In e-com, we can launch, like we just launched our pizzas yesterday, which are our top pizzas. So not just pizza crust, but we launched a margarita pizza, cheese pizza, and a veggie. They're all very low carb, simple, fresh ingredients.
Oh my gosh, I got to go order these. Okay.
We don't use fillers at all. Well,
because I've only used your guys' crust. And by the way, you guys listening in right now, her noodles and her crackers are life-changing. We keep those stocked in the house. They're so good. Okay, sorry.
So no problem. So the crusts are selling like hotcakes. We just went Walmart, nationwide Walmart, and also nationwide Kroger, and we're going nationwide. We're in some Whole Foods, but we're going nationwide Whole Foods. So these topped pizzas, we call them pizzas. They're in the frozen section. Right now, we're testing them out on e-commerce. So we've got this great special. People can get them, free shipping. And then we want to hear the feedback. We want to know how they love them. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to tweak them and perfect them for grocery. And we've already started doing that. So we've gotten some great feedback. But that I love e-commerce for that because it's instant feedback. And we listen to our customers. In 2017, people wanted a dairy-free option. And I actually got a lot of slack. Like, you have lupus, you have autoimmune, you can't eat dairy. Well, things affect people differently. Mm-hmm. And I can actually eat dairy. Can I have a bowl of ice cream without it upsetting me or causing me a rash? No, but I can have some cheese. It doesn't bother me. I've tried it over and over. So, I mean, that's why I've created this product. So we listened to our customers and we came up with three SKUs, three different flavors of our dairy-free plant-based option. There's a huge plant-based community out there. May not be my favorite, but people love them. So it's great to have the internet, to have email, to have social media for those reasons.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, when you say e-commerce, are you using Amazon?
We are using Amazon. We were the best-selling pizza crust on Amazon for all of 2018. We've been off and on in 2019, but all of 2018, we held that title. And that means we were the number one pizza crust, not just cauliflower, not frozen, all of pizza crust across Boboli, all of those. We beat out all of them for the entire year on Amazon. So Amazon's about, you know, I get this question a lot and people are shocked, but Amazon's about 10% of our business. And then we have about 5% in other areas. And then the rest is 85% is direct to consumer. So right off our website. Mm-hmm. And we use a platform called Shopify.
Okay. That's what I know a lot of my listeners use too. I love that. I love all the like little nitty gritty details. So thank you for sharing that with everybody.
Well, my next business and my next life, I want to do something similar to what you're doing. I want to help other women find their dreams. Because I mean, look, 5 years ago, if you were to tell me that I was going to have a multi-million dollar business, I would have said, you're crazy. I don't have an MBA. I have no experience. And I've never been on Instagram. I don't know how to use it. I'm building my personal Instagram and I love it. I'm the one making all those messages. I know I'm going to get to a point where I can't keep doing it and I'm going to have to hire somebody to help me. But as long as I can keep doing it, I love it. And I'm learning all about Instagram and stories and how to post because I'm going to be 50 next year. I'm probably one of your older people that you're interviewing.
Oh my gosh. No, you're not. Well, no, I don't think you are. Well, actually, I got to rethink the question. But you know what I love about you is that, you know, even though you want to do that later on, you're already doing that now by taking the time to come on these podcasts. Like, you're running a multi-million dollar business. You don't have to be on this podcast, but you're doing it and you're giving back to so many people. You're giving hope to so many people. You know, a lot of people have that thing. Oh, I don't have an MBA. So what qualifies me to do this? How do you get over that? Like, I don't have these letters next to my name, because I truly believe I would rather hire somebody that has experience than the letters next to their name. So what was the mindset? How did you get prepared to become the CEO that you are? Cause you're still the CEO, right?
I just gave my CEO title up.
Oh my gosh.
Recently. Now I have strategy behind why I gave it up. I want to answer your question too, but I gave up the CEO title because we are going to be launching a lot more products and I want to write another book, and I'm still a mom of three kids. And last year about not literally killed me, but I really sacrificed what was most important to me and had to really dive internally. And the CEO title was really an ego thing for me. Like, I love running a team. I loved being titled the CEO of a multi-million dollar company. I gave that up. I'm still the majority female owner. I own the company. I'm head of the board. I'm the president, but I'm also now in charge of R&D and being the face of the brand. So for me, it's really important to come up with new products a little bit faster than we've done in the past. There are so many cauliflower products coming out in the market. There's like 50. And I'm telling you, like, I'm probably going to get sued for this, but like the majority of them should be banned. And I started to say this in the beginning of the podcast and I said, I'll come back to it. But I went to Italy. I've done a lot of work in Italy. I can eat pizza in Italy on regular grain crust and not have inflammation. So that means you got to look at what's in our food.
Well, so GMOs are illegal in Europe. So,
absolutely. And just because something says it's gluten-free doesn't mean it's healthy. It's going to have cornstarch and fillers in it. And those cause inflammation. I think those are making our country sick. And so I want to fight this to the end. Like, I'm not in this for the money. I'm in this to make a difference in the world. And I think that's the difference between some of the competition and myself. I was asked early on to make the product half the price, which meant I had to put less cauliflower in it and more fillers. So one of our big competitors has 14 ingredients. Well, how much real cauliflower do you have in 14 ingredients? One of our pizza crusts has 3 ingredients.
Right.
And we use the whole head and you get a lot of cauliflower out of that. So I won't compromise for money. And I believe that our country, I think people are getting smarter and they're looking at the ingredients and they're looking at labels, and the real successful companies are the ones that are keeping it super clean. And I want to be that. And I want to be able to put out more products. I actually want to reinvent the freezer section to be healthy for moms like you and I that are so busy, where we can get something, put it in the oven, and feed it to our family, and it's clean, and you can understand the ingredients on the back, and it's healthy and fresh. Even though it's in the freezer section, frozen vegetables and fruit are coming out as actually healthier for you out of the freezer section than the, so.
I know, I do frozen smoothies because I follow the medical medium, heavy metal detox. And he says, get the frozen fruit. But before I thought, oh my gosh, he's like, it's actually, okay, all right, I'm not fighting it. I'll go to the frozen section.
Yeah.
But, I love that you're just so mission driven, because America, we're the most overfed and undernourished society in the world. That's insane. Oh. To think about that. I mean, it's a huge problem. And this is what I love, is that you're actually solving a real problem. You're solving a real problem. You're going to change, the world for generations to come. Because if we can ban GMOs in America, like, that's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a good thing.
Well, not only GMOs, but so much more than that. Look, the medical industry is starting to fight back as well. I mean, we have kids that have type 2 diabetes now, and that wasn't always the case. We didn't have kids that had type 2 diabetes. You have them now. And why? Because they're overweight. And we know what those artificial fillers do. They turn to sugar and cause fat. I mean, I'm not the expert in that. We lean on people like Thomas DeLauer and people that are experts on how to eat proper fat and how it converts to the right fat. And I'm not perfect. I'm not the stick thin person. I'm real. I'm a mom of 3. I've gone through menopause. There's so many people I want to touch. I want to touch the Lupus Foundation.
How do you feel right now?
I feel good, but I'm not going to lie. I have days where when I'm traveling a lot, not getting a lot of sleep, or stress starts weighing in, I don't feel that great. We just traveled this last week for Expo East, which is a food show in Baltimore. And then I came to Northern California to speak at a women's organization. And San Francisco Airport's having all kinds of problems because they're down to like one runway. So our flight, we missed our connection. Then we got put on a red eye. And that happened 2 days in a row. And after the second day, I could feel my body started to feel really run down because I wasn't getting sleep. Mm-hmm. And ultimately I started rashing out, and you could kind of still see I have a little bit of it left.
Yeah.
And I don't hide it because I'm like, I'm not perfect. This is not from eating bad. It's just from
other life
deprivation. Yeah. And a little bit of stress, and that happens. But I love to speak to women. I started this company at the age of 46. ironically, it's valued at 46 million. So I'm like, 46 at 46.
I love that.
But I'm ready to shoot higher. So you're never too old to start something new. And I want to go back to answering your original question. I've been through menopause because you go through menopause early on lupus. So I love to talk to women about that because menopause does make you feel crazy. And I know your listeners are not at that age, the majority of them, but you will be at some point in life. And I'd love to be an inspiration to those women. But I also want to be an inspiration to women that don't have an MBA. And when I hire people early on, now we've got a team of people that hire people because we have almost over 100 employees. But when I had my small group of employees, I hired people that were hungry, humble, and had strong emotional intelligence. And the reason why is the hungry is the willing to just get out there and be scrappy, because that's what I am, is scrappy in a good way. Like I'm not like...
You're gritty. You're just willing to do whatever it takes, you know?
Whatever it takes, but not compromise values or people.
Yeah.
And humble, we made a lot of mistakes. I mean, I made $1 million worth of mistakes last year, and I openly admitted it. I wrote a letter to my community when our packaging was wrong. Like, just be humble. People understand that. They want to know that you're willing to admit when you make a mistake. Mm-hmm. And then emotional intelligence, we were all women. There were no men in our organization. There is now, but there wasn't. And you know how it is with a bunch of women.
You got to have
emotional intelligence, no drama. And I can honestly say, this sounds so bad, but I can honestly say we had no drama. I mean, no drama until we brought men into the organization. And that's not a man bashing thing. It might be the men I picked. I'm not sure.
Well, it just changes the dynamics, and it changes what you're used to being around, you know? So I could see that. But I love that no drama zone. No drama zone at college.
No drama. Okay. No drama. Yep.
So it kind of sounds like you, I'm trying to put to words, but you were just humble enough to admit when you were wrong, hungry enough to go after what you want. I'm just recapping what you said. Uh-huh. And you were willing to be a disaster in the beginning. Mm-hmm. In order to become the master, right? And so,
ooh, I love that. Just be a disaster in order to become the master. Can I borrow that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But here's the thing that I love is that a lot of people, they're not willing to look dumb in the beginning, right? Like they wouldn't have wrote a letter. They're just like, okay, I'm just going to close up shop. It's too big of a mistake, you know? And so, were you born that way? Like, how did you become gritty like that to go, I'm just going to keep going? Was it because you were surrounded by other entrepreneurs that were saying, keep going? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I shouldn't be what I am today at all. Statistically, I should not be where I am. So I'll give you a little bit of background. I never admitted this until about 2 years ago. I used to put up a front about where I came from and who I was. But truth be told, I was born to an alcoholic drug addict dad, and my mom became a single mom when I was 2 years old, and I'm proud of her strength to walk away. But she was a single mom, and we were very poor, and she was struggling, and I watched her really hard to keep a roof head. And at the age of 12, she remarried, and I rebelled and ran away from home and barely graduated, ended up in a foster home. And yeah, struggled for a long time. I think what's me is that I didn't get into drugs and I never got pregnant. I mean, God, but I never admitted that because I think people would have looked down for that. But I believe that survival mode is who I am today. Like I just feel like no is the next opportunity. So back then, I was 12 and 13, finally ended up at my aunt and uncle's farm in Portland, Oregon. And I worked for 6 months, went to school there. And I realized, wow, things could be totally different. And so then I came back and kind of cleaned up my act. But yeah, I know what it's like to be placed in a home. I know what it's like to run away from home. I know what it's like to sleep on a park bench. I know what it's like to have hand-me-down clothes and be teased at school. Mm. And I do believe completely 100% that if you write it down and you believe it enough and you work hard enough, anything can happen. I'm proof of that. I'm literally proof of that. Because as a child, I was down. I bounced back from it. I graduated from college. I was the first in my family to graduate from college. I went on to grad school. I didn't finish grad school because I got pregnant, but I became a mom of three kids. I've been married for 21 years. My grandmother divorced when divorce was not heard of. My mom divorced. I mean, divorce ran in our family because the women were picking terrible men, and I broke that chain. And I have a wonderful husband that we're going to celebrate 22 years in March. And so I believe anything can happen. And this business, I went to this conference, and the guy at the conference said, "How much have you done this year?" And I said, "We've done 5.3 million. He said, "What are you going to do next year?" Randomly, I said, 20 million, just like 20 million. And then I was like, oh shoot, that went out. I'm going to make that happen. And I got my small team together and I said, okay, we're going to do this. And we set monthly goals and we did it. So I truly believe that you can manifest what you want. You got to write it down and you got to create really good habits and work backwards, I believe.
Yes. Well, you know, when you say it like that, people think, oh, it sounds so simple,
it's
right?
Not.
It sounds so simple.
It's
really not, because these are the little things that people think it has to be more complicated than that, though. It has to be more complicated than just believing in it. And so they won't even do these types of things, but this is the stuff that will really take you to the next level.
Okay. So yeah, it's not easy and it's not, but it is simple. So in my mind, it is, at least, like writing it down, finding people, like put yourself in places where you're going to find people that are going to level up, that are getting to the goals that you want. So for example, I'm in the food industry. So I went to the fancy food show. And this is a great example of where fear and insecurity can cause you not to meet the right people. So I went to this fancy food show. I knew nothing about the food industry. Jesse's story had just gone viral, but we were not in grocery stores. I knew about farmers market. I'm around all these people with successful food brands. We're talking like the Dave Asprey's, the Mark Sisson's of the world. And I'm at this conference and this guy comes up to me. His name is Bob Burke, very famous in the food industry, starts talking to me. Well, I could tell by the way he was talking, and I knew who he was, that I didn't know anything about what he was talking about. Instead of admitting that to him and soaking in his, because he came over to me, he wanted to talk to me, he knew about my product. And instead of soaking that in, I immediately let fear take over and intimidation, and I walked away. Oh. Well, today, Bob Burke from Stonyfield Yogurt is on my advisory board. Mm-hmm. And a year later, I met him again, and at this point, I already know a lot. I've learned a lot, so I can talk the lingo with him. And he says to me jokingly, "I'm so glad you came up to me and we talked, because last year when I met you, I thought you were such a stuck up." So my fear of talking to him and just being vulnerable and saying, "Hey, Bob, I'm just starting out. I don't know what that means. Can you explain it to me?" overtook, and I couldn't get away from Bob fast enough. Well, I purposely reached out to him the next year because I knew I could talk to him about the lingo and I knew what kind of person he was. And then if I needed to ask a question, he was there. And now he's my advisor on my advisory board. I call him all the time and say, "Hey, what does this mean?" all the time. And the guy's a gazillionaire in the food industry, but he's down to earth. I mean, naturally people want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So surround yourself with people that have leveled up in where you want to be. And soak it in, respect the process, respect them, but soak in what they have to offer. Join a mastermind. I believe in masterminds. Make sure it's the right one and it's the right fit and you're going to be fully committed, because I've joined them and haven't been able to participate in everything, and then you don't get the full benefit of it.
Yeah, that's been I'm in three this year and I have not been able to commit to all of them. And it's, yeah. Oh, why did I do that?
Yeah.
I wasn't committed, but...
And I think you've got to write down your steps. Like, you don't have to have a big, brilliant business plan, but write your steps down and believe in it every day. Create those basic habits. For me, you know, I learned from like the Lewis Houses of the world that you've got to create a morning routine. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's faith, it's meditation, like getting up and just really being in the Word before I open my computer. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, yeah. And I believe building those habits is going to lead you to be the person that can be successful. And then,
what's your favorite devotional?
Oh, goodness. You're putting me on the spot. So I grew up in an atheist household, but I became, accepted. I mean, I don't want to freak your listeners out, but
I talk about God on Jesus all the
time. Okay. I accepted Jesus in my life in 2015, and I swear he's been the CEO. When I was running it, he was the CEO of this company. And so I was straight.
So was your husband a Christian too?
No, he's Catholic, and I converted to Catholicism to marry him. But he's going to a Christian church with me. And I, just the other day, I got to meet Joel Osteen recently. Mm-hmm. I was in Houston. I was on the news, and then I did a book signing for Kroger. And then we went to church and I met Joel Osteen. And so I've been listening to his podcast, and Call It Out is a really good one because he's basically talking about what I'm saying right now. Like, call it out. You want your kids to get good grades? Call it out in them. Like, honor them for the grades that they have and keep encouraging them to get better rather than punishing them for bad grades. I use grades as an example because we're doing that with my son right now. But so I loved listening to Joel Osteen, but I use the Bible app, and you know,
I do too.
I'm always like, oh, something that I've been, I just spoke on stage this last weekend with the original health coach that was my original partner. And we hadn't spoken in 2 years, and legally, it was a big disaster. We came together and we spoke together. So I was doing the Bible app. We'll have different like forgiveness, anxiety. I've been doing a lot on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so, I love it. Forgiveness is, you know, forgiveness has been one of the most powerful things that I practice on the regular, because before, and forgiveness of myself, the things that I've done wrong, forgiveness of other people, mm-hmm. but also, this is so powerful, Amy, asking for forgiveness from other people that you think have done you wrong, asking them to forgive you for you holding a grudge and bitterness towards them. It's really like, when I tell people that, they're like, no, that's not happening. I forgave them, but I don't need to ask for forgiveness. But if you do that, it's like, it's a game changer.
You know what? That's actually really powerful. And I feel like in a very small way, I did that this weekend. And I think I'm going to reach out and actually do that on a bigger scale, because you're right. Because, you know, when partnerships go wrong, it's never just one person. It's two people, yep. No matter what. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. Look, today is Isaiah 40. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless.
Ooh.
That's my favorite. And I really should be memorizing scripture, but I definitely am in there every day, but I don't have everything memorized, but that's today's.
No, but I think what's so great about like starting your day off with that, and you know, for you guys listening in that maybe you don't read the Bible. I think for you guys, you know, the Bible is such an amazing book. If you just looked at it as a book, it's an amazing book that you can learn so much from one of the best leaders in history, Jesus. He's one of the best leaders, right? And well, I think he was the best leader, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if you were just to look at it that way, you could learn so much from just the things that are in the Bible. And I always say, like, you know, meditation. Like, so if that was my verse for the day, meditate on that and just go like, you know, there's going to be times today where I'm going to feel weak. And when I'm weak, he makes me strong. And there is a higher power inside of every single one of you guys. And if you just connect to that and focus on that, it's like I had this visualization the other day. I was in Grit Cycle. It's a cycling class. And I was really stressed about something in my business, but I had this visual of God just carrying me through the bike ride, like where I was like weightless almost. And I had this like thing, and that's exactly what he's doing in my business, in my influence. He's carrying me. So if I were just to lay back and just surrender, he's got it. And these last couple of days have been very different with my stress level. It's gone pretty much gone because I'm just like, you know what? He's got me. He's got me. And so when you walk around in that type of safety and security and protection, you can build a multi-million dollar business because, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to make mistakes because you are human and you're going to help so many people by you being you and just surrendering to the process.
Yeah, I love this. This is the most, I mean, I talk about my faith all the time, but we talk about it on a very general level. We don't talk about Jesus and stuff or God, but we just talk about having, you know, meditating to a higher power, whatever that looks like for you. I love that we're talking on the same level. And, you know, I was just looking up one of the verses that I love, which I believe is 1 John 2:15, which is don't put all your power into what the world has. So I, you know, I've never done my business to make a dollar. I've done it to pay it forward. And I've never looked at, like, we just moved and we bought this beautiful house on the water and I feel very blessed, but it's never been about what we have. It's more about how we could pay it forward. And I'm more than willing to be generous with what has been given to me through this business and just paying it back out. So we give a lot. Paying it forward, I think, is a huge part of the business. And even when we didn't have money, we paid it forward. But I don't put my value into things. Mm-hmm. I put it into, you know, into him. And so often when we would make a mistake and it was costly, let's talk about the packaging debacle. The macros were wrong on our packaging and it was hundreds of thousands of dollars because we had hundreds of thousands of packages. And I wrote a letter. I talked to you about this earlier. I wrote a letter and apologized to my community about it and said, hey, we're human. We made a mistake. But every time we own it, and every time, like, I could have, the person that made that mistake, I could have fired her. I could have gone ballistic on her. She was so scared to tell me. And I was like, hey, we all make mistakes. And you know what? Ultimately, it's my fault because I'm the final sign off on it. So let's just be honest, be truthful. Some of my teammates wanted to blame it on the packaging people. Let's blame it on them. They're the ones that, you know, they created the package. Let's say they made the mistake. Well, that wasn't the truth. We owned it. And the crazy thing is every time that happens, and it's happened on other examples, God like just explodes our business because we're being truthful. We're not, it's not about the dollar. We're paying it forward. We're doing all the things that we're taught are the right things to do, ethical things to do, and honorable things to do. And our business tanked when it first happened. And I didn't flip out on anybody. I remained super calm and we went into, you know, let's fix this mode. And it like tripled our growth. People appreciated the transparency.
I love that.
I feel like that happens a lot, right? Like if you just put your faith in that and you just really, you just trust the process and you don't live out in fear.
Yes.
And that's the big thing that I would say too, to somebody when they're like, well, this all sounds easy, but how am I supposed to call it out and manifest it? And hey, I'm not religious or I don't have that kind of faith. What I would say is that, you know, if you just are really scrappy, you're really like, you know what you want to do and you make it happen and you don't let the no's or the downfalls or any problems that occur, because really successful businesses aren't successful without failure.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have to fail and learn from that failure. If you're not failing, then you're not successful. And if you're not having problems in a relationship, then it's not a real relationship. I mean, I'm not saying you have to have problems all the time, but it's unrealistic to have a perfect relationship or a perfect business.
Yes.
So starting out is really difficult because you're learning. And as long as you're learning, you will continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And so don't let fear dictate, don't let it debilitate you and stop you because you're afraid of failing. Every time I failed, that was like a learning experience for my team. We would sometimes celebrate them because it was like, hot damn, we know what to do next now. We know how not to do that. It's like, I just read Thomas Edison failed over 1,000 times. And when somebody said, well, that's never going to happen, he said, no, those 1,000 times were just eliminating the wrong way. The right way is there. I'm just eliminating the wrong way right now.
Right. Absolutely. You know what? And to tack on to that, I think anytime we make decisions based out of fear, you know, oh,
Oh yeah.
You know, I got to fire this person because they made this mistake. I don't want them to do it again. Or, you know, there it's always for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. And you're just attracting more drama into your life.
So true.
And so I always come from a place, and anytime we make decisions of, is it an alignment with the core values of our company? You know, what is the best for the company's mission? And at the end of the day, your mission is, and that's why you step down as CEO, right? Because your mission is to impact people worldwide. And so you knew, okay, at the end of the day, I'm not the best person to do that anymore. I'm best over here. So it was a smart decision, and it's easy because you know, okay, the impact is what matters. Instead of going fear-based, oh my gosh, my ego, nobody's going to know me. I'm not going to have that title anymore. There's all these things. But when you go, you know what? I'm just going to live in abundance and trust the process and know that at the end of the day, the value is people. And that's what matters most. So I freaking love that. I love that, you guys.
Okay. You just said that so well. I mean, that was like, thumbs up what I'm trying to say so well. Hey, I have a really quick story because I know our time is almost wrapping up, but I just want to say a story early on that I did that I considered was a mistake, and it was out of fear. I didn't believe in the beginning that I could be the CEO of a successful company because, again, I didn't have the MBA. So I hired somebody and we didn't align and it wasn't working out. Our sales were not doing as well as they could have. Without going into great detail about it, that particular person thought we should do something one way. And I was the one on our customer service at the time. And I could see what customers were complaining about and they weren't liking that way. But he was the CEO and I needed to listen to him, and he wasn't going to listen to me or our customers. And so our values didn't align. And as soon as he left the company, we switched the packaging the way our customers wanted to. And when he left, we were doing about 1.8 million in sales. And August on to the rest of that year in 2017, we ended up increasing it to 5.3 million in sales. Wow. Just by making that one tweak and really listening to our customers and aligning our values with our customers.
I love that.
But I let fear hire him. And that's my point.
Did you have to fire him or did he end up quitting?
I had to fire him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's okay. I mean, so here's the thing. It comes down to you actually did the best thing that you could for him because he probably wasn't happy in that position.
I've only fired two people in the entire time that we've been in business.
Wow. Okay. You're amazing.
One was just a hire that was just not a good hire. And I knew in my heart when I interviewed him, he wasn't a good match, but I had two other people that said, no, he's a great match. And it wasn't.
Now, have you learned to always go with your gut?
Yes. And always to meet the person in person. We hired them through references and a phone interviews. And I think if we would have met him in person, it would have been different. And then the CEO was strictly out of fear. Like I went fear-based, didn't have the confidence that I could do it. Now I've got a new CEO. I am so confident that he and I align on our values. Customers are number one to us. And so is our employees. And I mean, he's doing amazing things for us. Like he just increased our benefit package. So all of our employees have these amazing benefits. I mean, he really pours into the people and he cares about the people. And so
and he probably brings corporate experience that you don't have that is really going to serve the employees the best. That's awesome.
Well, and we're going grocery. That's our mission. That's our motivation right now is to expand in grocery. And he's got 30 years experience in the grocery industry.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for you. I feel like me and you, we could chat all day because,
I know.
You know, even though we're on different walks in life, I feel like we have a lot. I mean, you know, we kind of came from the same childhood and now it's just like putting ourselves out there every single day to change the world. So I respect you so much, Amy. And I think I got so emotional like several times on this podcast because I'm going to get emotional right now because I just think you're so, I just love your heart and I just feel like God is going to continue to honor you. And I just think continue to just stay strong, stay in the word and know that you have so many people out here just like me just supporting you. Even though it's silent, you might not hear from me all the time, but I'm cheering you on.
I am so grateful to be on this podcast and I'm so grateful that we align on in so many areas, being moms, going for our passion, changing our career to to shoot and strive for something better that pays it forward. I mean, you definitely do that. You're so sweet. You're getting emotional.
I never get emotional. It's so weird, but hello, I guess God wanted me to cry. But I think it's just like, it's, you're such an inspiration. And so it's, you know, like my mission is to help more moms become financially independent. And your story just gives them so much hope, you know, cause like, I think people can look at me and I just have this like, you know, spitfire personality and am a lot. And it's so good to see you have a different personality, but you're so impactful and powerful. And it's good for women to see that you can be you and freaking change the world. I think that's so powerful.
Well, thank you. But I'm just getting started.
Yes, you are.
I am determined to fight our food industry on these false, fake ingredients. So watch out, world. And Lupus, I'm super honored. They sent me over a proposal. I'm so honored to possibly work with them very closely next year and make just a bigger awareness with that NIH coming out with 1 in 6 people and a lot of them undiagnosed. We need to change. We have to change.
Yeah. And that's why I'm like obsessed right now with doing my medical medium stuff because I have celiac, which is an autoimmune.
Yeah.
But there's so much more that goes along with it because I can't eat the gluten-free stuff. I can't eat a lot of that stuff because it's so filled with junk. You know, and so you guys read your labels. And
yes,
loved this podcast episode. I want you to tag both me and Amy Lacey on Instagram. Tell us what you learned because I feel like we talked about it all. and so I'm going to link up her Instagram. We're going to link up Cauliflower Foods. Make sure if you guys are out in the grocery stores and you see it, buy everything on the shelf to help assist out. And I promise you guys will not be disappointed with the taste and the quality of this food. It's amazing. And so before you go, Amy, we like to challenge our audience. Okay. So give them one thing that they could do to step into having a millionaire mindset.
Well, one thing would be definitely to establish a morning routine, no matter what happens. I don't care if your kids have been throwing up all night. Of course you need to treat them. Stick to your morning routine. The second thing, and the reason why I bring up the morning routine is because I do this in my morning routine. No matter what you, no matter who you're angry at or what situation you're angry at, get a gratitude journal. Mm. Gratitude, you cannot be angry and have gratitude at the same time. So for me to get on stage with this person this last weekend, it took me to write all the things I was grateful for, the lessons I learned, even the person that she is and where she's gone. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. It's my morning routine. It will set your day up for success. On the days where I don't do gratitude and really think about it, like this last Sunday, I didn't do it. I went to church. I did all the right things, but I didn't do my gratitude journal for my husband. And I had a little mini breakdown on him. And if I had just stuck with my routine, not just going to church and not just being faith-based, but really having gratitude in that quiet time, Sunday afternoon wouldn't have happened when the laundry was piled up and all the other things were happening. So I really believe in routine and gratitude. It sounds simple, but it's going to go far. And you might have gratitude for a business person that you just met, and that energy is going to come back to you.
You're going to have absolutely.
Yeah. So it's
I love it.
Every business.
Yes. And I love it because it's so simple. But you guys, again, you've probably heard other people say this challenged you. And this is the stuff that will actually move you forward in your business. So stop resisting it and lean into the simple things like this that will completely transform your life. So Amy, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I can't wait to see what you guys learn from this episode. Remember that right now, tickets are still available for Mommy Millionaire Live. So if you haven't picked up your tickets, head over to mommymillionaire.co. We're going to have so much amazing training for you on how to grow your brand online. So head over there and pick up your tickets today.
Thank you for listening to the Mommy Millionaire podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to mommymillionaire.co. Make sure to follow Mommy Millionaire on Spotify and subscribe on iTunes. And it would mean the world to me if you left a 5-star review of the show. And as always, ladies, go out there and get what you want.